Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. This is Brother Fawn Miller coming to you, speaker on the broadcast, director of the Way of Truth Ministries. We have a ministry reaching around the world, and we're excited about that. So we ask that you would get your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation chapter 1, and we will conclude our thinking about the magnificence of Jesus Christ as we look here in chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. But let's go to the Lord in prayer. Again, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege to speak the Word of God. We're so thankful for it, and we're thankful that the work that it will do, for faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Guide and direct in every aspect of this program. May Jesus Christ be exalted in everything, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus is Lord of everything. Now, that song ought to stir your heart and encourage you to keep on keeping on for the Lord. What a powerful song that is, and I appreciate it so much. Now, we're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. We've talked about his garment. We've talked about the golden girdle. His head, in verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Now, that's signifying age to it, although the Lord Jesus was probably somewhere around 33 years old when he was crucified. But if you recall back in John chapter 8, when the Jews were questioning him, and he's made this statement, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." He saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." They knew what that meant. That meant I am God. I am the Holy One. But before Abraham, I knew Abraham before he was ever mentioned in Genesis chapter 12, he could say. You see, the age is supposed to have some significance. Unfortunately, in our generation, and I mean that, and I could go and name instances, men who are quality men. I remember one man who was, he probably knew more about missions than most of us even know today. We pull together 25, 50 guys. I don't know if we'd know as much as he did. He pioneered a whole lot of work. But you know, when he got to be up in around the late 70s, 80s, you know, they didn't use him in any conferences. He'd go to them. He had written books. I am blessed to have had him as a dear friend. I think of another pastor who spent all of his life, teenage years, studying the Word of God. And I have numerous volumes of his that he wrote out, outlined the entire Bible. And, what a blessing. But I saw him put out, and he had put all many years into organizations that stood for the Word of God. But no longer was he an important figure within that ministry. And yet, may I say, it had not been for those two individuals, there would have been more struggles in that organization than what they had. Those two men knew very strongly the Word of God and how to present it and how to teach it. And I could name off a whole list of other people. But it seems like today, when you get into, unless you're in the certain groove, it is almost impossible to get into churches because you apparently don't know anything anymore. And, it's just, I'm glad God keeps a record. I really am. You know, go over with me to Psalms 71. You want to see something that really sets a stage. Christ is seen here as mature, as making mature decisions. But notice, "Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have shown thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come." You know, when you look at some of these old-timers, and you realize what they have been through. I remember one dear man who always came to our church, and some of you in the local area here may remember old Brother Crawford. I loved just sitting at his feet. I mean, I loved hearing him talk about the things of the Lord. I loved hearing him preach. Just a simple message, but boy, it carried the depth of power in it. And here is the Lord who is coming as an authority. He is coming. You know, it's interesting that the British Empire and a number of others, the ones who were the judges or who were the legal authorities, wore powdered wigs. In fact, our early presidents wore powdered wigs. Sign of old age. They may have had a beautiful crop of black hair or whatever color. Or maybe no hair, but they were given that wig. It denoted their authority, and that's what this shows right here. It is the authority of one who was in eternity past, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. But look at further on here, "And his eyes were as a flame of fire." You know, I've often wondered when I read that, I wonder if that is the thing that judges, when he judges our works. If I know Jesus Christ is going to be the one to do that. Go over to 1 Corinthians in chapter 3. I believe this may be the fire that tests our work. Go with me to verse 11, and we'll just read down through a few verses here in chapter 3. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:20 tells us that as well. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What kind is it? Was it work that was done for my glory? Was it work that was done for my personal glory? When I said the original my glory there, I'm talking about the Lord. Was the Lord looking at that and saying, this was done for my name's sake? Or was it done for the individual's name's sake? Then is any man's work abide. And I believe here is where that fire, revealed by fire, I believe it is the fiery eyes of our Lord that pierces right through every attitude of man's heart, knowing exactly the character of that individual and how he served the Lord or didn't serve him. 2 Corinthians 5:10 brings us to that point as well. And so we see the Lord testing. He is testing the church. He is testing the individuals. He is making certain that what they've done has been done for his glory. You see, beloved, let me say this. Christ is not looking at our works through those eyes of fire in order to bring humiliation to us. What he'd love to do is with those eyes of fire pierce into the works and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. He's not wanting to say, thou wicked and slothful servant, and then take from what you've done and give it to others. No, he didn't want to do that. Christ's desire above all else is that when his eyes of fire pierce through that work, that he'll be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, beloved, sometimes we get the idea that he is he maybe has some kind of a hatred for us. He doesn't. He is a loving Savior. He is a compassionate Savior. He could weep over the people. You remember when he saw the multitude and he said, Bible says he was moved with compassion on them. That is, he had a broken heart. There were tears in his eyes as he saw those people wallowing around and not having any kind of guide. Well, you see, I believe in the judgment seat of Christ. He's not waiting to get even with us and licking his chops and saying, I'm going to get him now. I believe he's looking at that saying, oh, Father, this is a time I want to bless my children abundantly. I want to encourage them throughout all eternity. Now, we'll be encouraged, but you know, beloved, we've got to face the music, and I believe the Lord wants us to be able to face the music in a great chorus of praise unto him because we've done it faithfully. You see, according to Revelation chapter 4, when he gives us a crown, all we do is take it back and place it at his feet. We don't put it on a shelf and dust it off every so often with that holy dust that might collect on it. No. We'll lay them at the feet of Jesus. Wouldn't you like to have a lot of crowns to do that with? I know there are a number of crowns mentioned in Scripture. But anyway, we are looking at this fact that those eyes, and I believe that's what it is. I believe that's what that will pierce. You know, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 29 says that God is a consuming fire. Now, he is in judgment, as in Revelation 19 will declare. But you know, I believe also this consuming fire will take into account our works. Well, we're going to listen to a song right now, and then we're going to look at the feet of fine brass.
Oh, shall reign. Jesus shall reign. Let heaven and earth rejoice. For Jesus is Lord of everything.
Amen. Jesus is Lord of everything. You know, do you believe that? That's sort of what we're talking about. He's Lord of the church, the local church. Yes, the invisible church or the universal church or however you want to explain it. That's his body. And yes, he's Lord of that. But he is Lord of the local church. And one day, we are going to give an account to him about our churches and about our individual lives. Now, let's look. We're looking at another thought here. The feet of fine brass, verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Now, this is a very significant thing that is mentioned about our Lord, because it is a sign of having been tested. It is a picture of the brazen altar where the whole sacrifice was put on that altar and sacrificed to the Lord. So when our feet are sacrificed, you remember when the blood was put on the ear, on the thumbs, and on the big toe. It was dedicating the entire body of the priest to the Lord. Well, the fine brass would indicate, with the feet being of fine brass, that the whole body is committed to the Lord, and it's of judgment, that he has the right to step into that picture and judge the church, not only with his eyes as a flame of fire, but now his feet as fine brass. And you go over, and I'm not going to take the time to turn there, but Exodus chapter 27 and the first 8 verses. Then you also read about our Lord and the complete sacrifice. For that brazen altar spoke of the cross. It spoke of Christ going to the cross. And so when you see those feet of brass, it is that brass, if you please, of the altar where Christ went to that cross and paid the price of your sin and mine. He describes that in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 14. So our Lord's feet indicate that, again, he is worthy to be the judge of you and me. They have been tried in the furnace of fire. They've been tried in that fiery test of the cross, the punishment that was endured there. They were tried in the tomb as he was buried in that tomb where the devil thought to keep him. But he arose victorious. Those are the feet that will be seen as a judgment feet there in Revelation chapter 19. So you and I need to understand that this Jesus Christ is worthy to be the judge of the church. Now go with me, and we just don't have time to get into every aspect. I have many verses of scripture written down here, but we're going to go to the voice, the sound of many waters. And if you go over to verse 10, you'll find that there was this great voice as of a trumpet. Now, I take from that as of a trumpet, the melodious sound. I don't know how you feel about trumpets. I have a good friend that he has what they call the silver trumpet. Now, I don't know the whole lot of difference except silver and brass are two different things. But he plays a silver trumpet, and he does that, you know, he can do that there, I call it warbling, but anyhow, I mean, plays, I'm telling you, just draws your heart, your mind toward the Lord. And Larry's a tremendous musician, and I praise the Lord for him, and he's been faithful to the Lord in service, and so when you think of the voice of a trumpet, you think of a melodious sound, a sound that draws your attention. And then secondly, John says his voice was the sound of many waters. The sound of many waters. Now, you know, when you, I don't know if you've been at the Niagara Falls or a place like that. I was out at Twin Falls, and one time went out there with hardly any water going over it, but then I was out there when the water was rushing pretty hard over it. And I've been up at the Niagara Falls, and I've heard it. Been several other places where, you know, you hear the rush of that water, and it's almost like a voice. You don't know what it's saying, but it just has that sound as it thunders down over the falls and into the rocks below. But look at Psalms 29 for a moment. Verse 3 says, "The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Siron like a young unicorn. The voice of the Lord divideth the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. The Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord maketh the hinds to calf and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak his glory." You see, the Lord sitteth upon the throne of the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. You see, it's talking about this powerful voice of the Lord. That's a voice of authority. And the voice of authority is going to deal with these churches and deal with our lives. Now, he's not going to yell. You know, there's a couple of ways to show the voice of authority. One is to scream and yell, and really it doesn't accomplish anything. Another is to speak very directly and not waffle around. And that's the voice of authority. You know, it is God speaking, or Christ speaking to the church. And his voice is a sound of many waters. In other words, there's a majesticness to it. There's power to it. And as I say, the power is not the yelling. The power is that as he speaks, he commands the authority of the people under him. I recall several men that I had as training sergeants and officers in the military. And they would speak, and they would speak very firmly, but didn't have to get loud. They made it loud enough that the whole company could hear because they didn't have a microphone. But it wasn't an angry loudness. And that's exactly what we have here, the sound of many waters. There is power here. And you can see that, the power of his voice in Revelation 14:2, also over there in chapter 19 and verse 6. The sound of many waters. You see, beloved, it is the Lord calling the church into account. And he's calling you and I as individuals to be understanding the accountability that we have to him. You know, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11, there to verses 9 through 11, the Bible tells us that every knee will bow of things in heaven and things in earth, and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know, that really means every mouth will confess till God says it's enough, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You see, when we see him, virtually he won't have to speak. He will speak to us, but the authority is in the person. The authority is in the command. You know, I've had people that work. I've worked with people, and they had authority in their voice. You know, they spoke to you. They spoke to you like a human being, but you knew as they spoke, there was real authority in that speech. And it was done for one reason. They wanted you to follow and accomplish the task that was before you. Jesus Christ has a voice of many waters. And he's looking right now for the church to grab a hold of that. Now, notice something. I want to take you right down here to verse 16. He had in his right hand the seven stars. We talked about that. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That is one of the most beautiful pictures of the power of the Word of God. Not only is there power in his voice, but it's this sword in Revelation 19:15 that destroys the enemies of God, the armies of the Antichrist, Satan, the beast, a false prophet. It is that voice that destroys them. You know, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing of sunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Beloved, ultimately, God's word will be the final authority about your works, my works, the ministry of the church, will be the final authority for the nations of this world and for the great nation of Israel. The Word of God will be the final authority. And God will turn his attention to Israel in a most unusual and blessed way. But before that, he has to reign that judgment, speak that voice of authority. My friend, have you submitted to the Lord Jesus Christ? What a loud voice was echoed on the cross of Calvary as Jesus said, "It is finished. Into thy hands I commend my spirit." You see, Christ had completed our salvation, and he was letting the world know. And God answered back. He was acceptable with the earthquake that shattered the veil in the temple from top to bottom, and the mountains quaked. My friend, God wants to work in your life. If we might be a spiritual help to you, please contact us. Email WOT@WOTBM.org, or you may write to us at Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602, USA. God bless you.